Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. If you're one of those that writes down in your Bible where I preach, I guarantee that you have written down that I have preached from this chapter before. And sometimes people will say, well, why do they accuse you as a preacher preach things like that again, that passage that you preached sometime back? Well, it's first of all because the Lord is on my heart. But you know as well as I do that when you have found a good place that you like to eat, you'll often go back and eat that again. And that is kind of how I feel about this scripture. It is something that every time I look at it, God speaks to my heart fresh in my life, and I praise Him for it. So I want to begin down in verse 27. And the Bible says, God is speaking here through His prophet Isaiah. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, thinketh not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I am a, guess you would call it a history buff. I love You read history. It's one of my favorite subjects is World War II. My dad fought in World War II, and that has always created an interest in my heart. I have read stories of those that faced and survived the horrors of the Nazi concentration camps. I read a book by a man named Viktor Frankl. He was a well-known psychologist in Europe. And he was arrested and spent time in Auschwitz concentration camp. He was a survivor. But he wrote about as a psychiatrist watching people. He said, I saw them lose hope. I saw them get tired of facing all they were facing. He said, I watched them as they would lose interest in eating. They lost interest in sitting up and doing anything. Then he ultimately said, they lost their faith in their situation. Then they lost faith in their future. Isaiah's healing them. People that are facing much the same problem. Isaiah is writing to the Jewish exiles. And they have been in Babylon for years. And they were living on the edge of despair. They have grown weary. And they were questioning their faith. And they were questioning their future. So we may ask, well, what does God do for people in such a case? God sends them a message of hope. In this chapter, God began by saying, comfort ye. God was saying, Isaiah, I want you to carry my word unto those people that are facing weariness in the journey of life. So it is still a message of encouragement. I don't know how it is for you, but I seem to see on a lot of faces the weariness. I seem to hear it at times in the words that people say that they're weary in the journey of life. I believe that weary Jesus comes to all of us on the occasions. Sometimes it comes because of the cares of life. I mean, just everything, I'm talking about working, raising a family, paying your bills, keeping up your stuff. Oh, there's always something that causes us at times to get weary simply about life. Things aren't always easy. Shana bought a house a year and a half or so ago. And every now and then something will happen that has to be fixed, and she begins to talk about sometimes it's hard just keeping up with all you've got to keep up with. And that's true for all. True for all. Sometimes the cares of life cause weariness. Seems like the conflicts of life cause weariness as well. Sometimes it comes in the burdens and the battles that we fight. Seems like we are living in a time when the enemy has pulled out all stops of attack in her day. Seems like it's harder thinking you sense it. Seems like it's harder to stay close to God than I would used to be. Seems like it is so much more than a get your mind off of God. So much more that pulls you away from closeness to Him. Sometimes we wonder, preacher, why is it so like that today? Well, I don't have all the answers, but I do believe this. I believe that the coming of the Lord is here. And I believe Satan does this. Time is short. And I believe he is going in an all-out press against the people of God and the family of God, trying to hinder our lives and our hearts. He'll use circumstances. He'll use people. He'll use various things to attack our lives in this heart and in this courage us. But not only the conflicts of the faith, but conflicts of the physical. Things that fail our physical life. Doesn't matter how strong that you are, good dad, or how long you've been in the journey of life. But there are times that you get weary. Times you get weary with hurting, pain, suffering. I know that there are those that grow weary seeing doctors and taking treatments and in all of those things can cause a weariness in your life. And I believe there's also the criticisms of life. That's how there times that we've been hurt by people we love. Sometimes it is our family. Sometimes it is our friends. Sometimes it's people that say they're saved by the grace of God. They reach out and attack. Paul says in Galatians, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Paul is saying, don't give up. Keep pressing on. They have always been people that will rise against you. But don't let them get you down. Just keep serving and honoring the Lord. Paul says, don't be weary in your well-doing. But weariness does come. The Lord preached today, that's just my introduction. I want to preach today just a little while simply on weariness. Simply on weariness. How does God in this text, how does God deal with the weariness of these people? What is it that God does here in our text? First of all, God confronts the perception that shakes us. Verse 27, God is saying, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, thy way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. These Jewish exiles felt abandoned by the Lord. Their idea was that for some unknown reason, it's as though God wasn't paying attention. God wasn't seeing what they were going to do. They had been there for a long time, but nothing was changing. Nothing was improving. Nothing was getting better. And so they were failing God. For whatever reason, seems like you're not listening or paying attention. We say, well, Satan won't be. And I want to tell you, there's not a single person here today that has an unshakable faith. There were things that can happen in any of our lives can shake us to the very core of our being, to the point we fall on our knees and say, "Oh God, I don't understand all this." There's not a one of us can reach the point that we say there ain't nothing here gonna shake my faith. I want to tell you, the devil knows how to shake your heart and my heart. But here they are. There are people that are beginning to doubt the Lord. There are basically two kinds of doubt. There is the doubt that says, I'm just not going to believe it. I don't care what you say. I don't care what I see. I am just not going to believe it. That is a hard-hearted doubt. Can reach somebody like that. But then there is the doubt that it is just a struggle to understand and believe. There are times that it is and we doubt God is who He is. But we just doubt and say, "God, why are you letting all this go on? God, if you really love me, if you really care, why am I suffering like I'm suffering?" Sometimes we have those doubts. Sometimes we're like that man that brought his son to Jesus, desired the disciples to help him, and they couldn't. Jesus comes off the mount, sees the man, the father, and his son. Jesus says, "If you believe," he says, "Lord, I believe," then turned right around and said, "Help my unbelief." He's saying, "Lord, I believe that you know something, but I still, there's something down in here that I just struggle with doubts." Sometimes we're that way, aren't we? Sometimes it's easy to say, "Boy, I know God can," but when we're away from everybody else, there's that nagging in our heart. "God, why don't you then? Why don't you then?" Do you know what the Lord did first thing? He reminded them something about themselves. He says in this verse, "Oh, Jacob, and then, oh, Israel." God was reminding them where they were. God was saying, "You remember how I changed your forefather Jacob? He gave him a new name, Israel, saying that you are my chosen people." Sometimes we just need to be reminded that God's love for us will never change. That we are precious in His sight. I am so thankful, even when I doubt, even when I don't understand, even when I, in my faith, just one weak and struggling, God says, "I still love you. You're still my child. And that will never change." I want to tell you, God cares for His children always. So the first thing He did was He confronted the perception that shakes us. That perception that God, are you not paying attention? God, do you really not care? But then He tells them about the power that sustains us. Verse 28, He asks, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, neither is there searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength as the problems and pressures of life seem to intensify. Lord, us, sometimes we get our eyes off of just who He is. So the Lord said, first thing, I want you to realize who I am. He tells them four things. I'll read them quickly. Tells them, first of all, He's everlasting. Verse 28, He said, the everlasting God. You realize that nothing that we see, feel, and or hold in this life is everlasting. Nothing. Can I tell you, sickness isn't everlasting. Disease isn't everlasting. Boy, when you're in the middle of it, it feels like it doesn't. Sometimes it feels like you'll never feel better again. You'll never get past it again. And I want to tell you, God is everlasting. You know what the Lord is saying? He said, I'll exist even after your sickness is gone. I existed before. I exist now. I will exist forever. He is everlasting. He proceeds our problems, and He will outlast our problems in life. Thank God He's everlasting. But He didn't stop there. He says He is all controlling. The Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth. There is nothing in our lives or in this world outside of His control. Do you realize how the Lord says it in this verse? Be honest, if I would have been pinning it down, I would have probably said something like this. The Lord, the Creator of the earth. That would have been right. That's not what the Lord said. Said the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth. Preacher, why is that important? Because that word end, or ends, has the idea to the extreme, to the uttermost, to the lowest. Preacher, what is it saying? saying that no matter where life takes us, no matter what place we find ourselves in, God's power reaches to the uttermost. God's strength reaches through to the very end. That means that God will take care of us no matter where we are. For the children of Israel, it was God being with him in Babylon. But I'm glad his faith testified. It's God with us in the operating room. It's God with us at the funeral home. It's God with us in the emergency department. It's God with us in the hospital. It is God with us at the doctor's office. It is God with us no matter where you find yourself in life. God said, I'm there unto the end of the earth till it says all done. God said, I'll be there. But then he says that he is almighty. Look at that. Verse 28. He said, he fainteth not, neither is weary. That idea of fainting is mentioned 5 times here in these little verses. Weary, if I'm not mistaken, mentioned twice. But he said, realize that God fainteth not. That word faint is the idea of weakness. God doesn't grow weak in his power. God isn't short of his power. God isn't somewhere saying, I need to sit down on the throne and rest a little while. Then get my energy back. Then I'll be ready to go again. No, God is almighty. Nothing that I face in my life will ever be too much for him to handle. Nothing. But then in the last part of verse 28, he says that he has all wisdom. There is no searching of his understanding. I love to verse him. Verse 26, God says, lift up your eyes on high. That is, stand outside and look up in the sky. He said, lift your eyes on high and behold, you have created these things that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by name, yet by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. God said, take a look outside sometime. Look at all those stars. He said, I'm the one that created every single one of them and put them in their place. He said, matter of fact, I gave them all names. I even know their names. I am 65, close to 66. And man, I struggle with names. There are times I see people and I say, I know them. So why for me, I can't think of their name. And those are just people around here. God says, look at all those stars, millions and billions of stars. And he said, I know every one of them by name. Preacher, what are you saying? That ought to encourage our hearts to realize God has all wisdom, all knowledge, knows everything I need in my life. And will take care of me till I get home. Through all the weariness that life puts on us, I was praying this morning and I said, Lord, it'd be just a good day for you to just get us out of this old world of all of its sickness and troubles and trials and difficulty. Or just come on, get us out of this mess. I want to tell you, our world's getting worse and worse and worse as Satan pulls out all stops. But I want to say God can take care of us. He knows where you are. He knows where you live. He knows what's going on in your life. And He cares about your life. Lastly, He talks about the promise that strengthens us. He says, verse 29 again, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Sometimes even young people struggle, he said, with being weary and getting weak. But the verse we all know and love, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Sometimes we don't like to learn wait. And we don't like to wait anywhere anymore. Our lives are so pushed and rushed and doing. Just the other day, I was turning off of Highway 70 on a side road, had my signal on and slowing down to make my turn. A car behind me pulled out, blade on the horn the whole way around me, and I thought I was turning. I had my signal on. I was slowing down all of that. People don't want to wait. Do you realize what God was saying and Isaiah was saying here? When he used the word wait, it means be patient, be prayerful, be expectant. The idea, keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Sometimes we think waiting is just sitting around the arms crossed saying, well, okay, I'm waiting now. I mean, the idea whatsoever. The idea is keep doing what you're doing. Keep praying. Keep trusting. Keep looking. Keep expecting. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Somewhere He's going to hear. Somewhere He's going to work in your situation and your need. He said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The word renew speaks of exchanging. Exchanging our weakness for His strength. Exchanging our frustrations for His encouragement. Exchanging our problem that we're struggling with for His peace in our heart and in our life. He said, when we'll do that, He said, we mount up with wings as eagles. We can run and not be weary. We can walk and not faint. I have preached in the past about those three things, so I'm not going to get into all of them, but I will say this. the vast majority of our life isn't the soaring like an eagle. The vast majority of our life isn't running with our weariness, but it is just walking and not fainting. Just keep on walking. Keep on trusting. Keep on serving the Lord. When things don't look the best, you just keep trusting Him day by day. I remember when I first came here and Judy Hudson was dealing with her cancer and things weren't well, and I can remember her going and sitting and visiting with her. She wasn't able to come because of her sickness. And I remember sitting and visiting with her and Ben, and I remember something she said on numerous occasions. I would say something about, how are you doing? She would always say, I'm just taking one day at a time. I'm just taking one day at a time. You realize that's all we can do, any of us? It's just take one day at a time. If God allows me to wake up tomorrow morning and see the light of another day, although I may grunt and groan and ache and hurt, I can still say, Lord, thank you for life. If we knew everything God has done for us in the past 24 hours, it'd blow our minds. If I knew everything God had done for me in the past 24 hours, it'd blow my mind. Given me breath. I didn't tell you how many breaths I've taken in 24 hours. Kept my heart beating. Let me eat. Let me digest. Let me do all it. Let me sleep last night. Kept His eye on me while I slept. I want to tell you, it'd blow our minds if we knew everything God has done. He is so good to us. So He said, let's trust Him. I don't know why. I don't know why that comes out again. But Kevin, me and Kevin was told a while back, and he said, you know, you've mentioned so much lately about just keep trusting the Lord. We need to keep trusting the Lord. And here it is again. I don't know what all you may need, but keep trusting Him. I know you get weary. I know you get tired. I do. And I just have to say, Lord, would you just give me your strength and keep walking and keep serving you. That's the message in my heart. That's what the Lord put in my heart to bring and share with you today. I don't know what need you have. I don't know. Maybe you are right there. Maybe you're saying, preacher, I am just so tired, so weary. The Lord said, don't ever think I've forgotten about you. Don't ever think that I've forgotten where you are. Just keep walking. Keep living for Him one day at a time. One day at a time. And one day He's going to call us home to be with Him. Let's stand. Maybe if you'll come. And we'll get us a song. We'll stand. We'll sing. There may be somebody today the Lord has spoken to your heart in some way. Maybe you just need to come and altar a prayer and say, Lord, somehow will you help me? Somehow will you touch me? I'm tired. I'm weary. But Lord, I need your strength to just press on one day at a time till you call me home. While we sing, Brother David, would you come?